Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. A podcast is random talk on this and on that. What did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?
Did you know, Spud, that the Spudaddy theme tune was, well, you know, this is actually your thing, was actually supposed to be a calypso. Me and Spud were talking about, and he was like, the Spudaddy tune, I believe, was actually initially Spud. He was like, it could be like Spudaddy, da, 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 da. And the melody is actually a bit of a calypso, but the, I can't really do a calypso on the guitar, so it's kind of come out kind of like poppy country, but trust me, if I had steel pans and a black person next to me, then we'd have calypsoed it like never before. Do 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 do, etc.
It'd have been good. We should get that. Maybe we upgrade it at some point.
We should do. You know, when we make our first million, I'll like arrange like some Jamaican band to come in. Stevie Wonder on piano, obviously. Maybe that guy from UB40. You know, to prove
the main guy. Yeah,
equal opportunities. You know, he'd be like, hello, and maybe Pat O'Banton. I haven't known what he's done for a while, and. Yeah, we could just jam it up with a Spudaddy song. Do 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 do. Oh, Henwa's back. Hello, Henwa. Sorry for those of you watching on the podcast, but Henwa's been gone for ages. Good to see you, sir. Anyway, welcome to Spudaddy. This will be approximately an hour of whatever we want to talk about. We go to all sorts of topics from politics to the world to teaching to the universe to movies to computer games to wrestling to your face. So go, Spud.
Your face. How's your face?
I've got a spot.
We've never spoken about your face.
Spots on my nose are really irritating. Spots in general. It's like, I'm 30 freaking 5 now. And like, this is like a teenager's thing. Teenagers should have spots. And then adults go, ha ha, you're a teenager. You've got spots. Adults shouldn't just still be on occasion kind of going, here is my spot. It's morally wrong.
Morally? Wow. Mother Nature has no morals.
How's your face?
My face is good. It's a bit chubby. It always needs to go on a diet. But apart from that, I'm good.
It's weird how like being losing weight and gaining weight affects your face. Because when you feel your face, like I've gone down and then I've gone up a bit. So I'm kind of like medium fat though. But like faces are like bones, aren't they? You know, like here's my chin bone. And here's my lip bone. And here's my nose bone. And here's my cheekbone. And here's my, you know, head bone. So it's like, well, where's the fat? But then when you lose weight, you really can see it in people's faces. And it's like, well, where? It's not like the bones themselves, like, you know, I guess it just must be like the way the skin hangs off your face. This is a weird conversation, but it's weird, weird. Because, like, you know, you wouldn't think your body were like, I'm going to store that bit of fat under the cheek.
Well, some people have fat faces and they're skinny and vice versa. Some people look at their face and it's like, wow, you're really slim. And then you see their body and it's like, whoa.
It's true. There's some people that you see their kind of faces in photographs or online and stuff, and then you kind of see their bodies and it's like, whoa! And the same in reverse.
This is a bad blind date. Nah.
I cheat with my weight. I kind of carry most of my weight in my butt rather than my tummy. So people often kind of say to me, you're not fat. You look fine. And obviously I'm quite overweight but and stuff, but then I'm more kind of like, I'm just carrying it in the rear.
It's my legs. My legs are chunky. Chunky legs.
Chunky legs. Like a woman.
A woman with chunky legs, yes. And unlike a woman with slim legs. Anyway.
Yes.
Trailers.
You better not be about to spoil me.
Since we last spoke, two trainers. Trainers? I have two trains. Two trailers have hit, which I think we should discuss. Number one today.
Yes.
The new Star Wars trailer.
I believe Luke Skywalker is controversially not on the poster or something. Did I read?
Oh, yes. Yeah, everyone's lost their stuff because, well, he's not on the poster and I think he's not even on the trailer. People are like showing you a clip of someone touching R2-D2, like, you know, patting him on the head and saying, oh, that's Luke. But then these other people are coming out and going, maybe he is in the trailer. Because the bad guy, you see the bad guy and he's like...
Yeah, like mask and stuff.
Yeah, talking and stuff. And I think he's saying, I'll carry on your... I think like to Darth Vader's mask or something. And then maybe that's Luke. Maybe he's gone to the dark side. That would be some hell of a twist. And you know, so many fans will be pissed. Way
of twisting him back in. I mean, but Luke's
it'd be very good. And we know
he's a pretty big thing to miss out the poster. But you're right. Maybe there's a reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, if he is in the poster as Rilo Ken, that would explain everything. But some people would completely lose their minds about that and complain, and there'd be a big internet petition or something.
Really,
but,
it make perfect sense because the whole kind of point of the Skywalker family is they, you know, they get born, they grow up, they become heroes, they lose their shit, they become bad guys, they get murdered.
They turn bad, they turn evil. Then they turn good.
Just be like father, like son. You know, he gets to about mid-20s and goes, what? Nope, evil.
Well, I think when Marvel bought all the Star Wars stuff, it's not part of the canon story, but there was a series of comics or books that Luke did turn to the dark side and then come back again, just like his father. So it's not all that unbelievable, but I don't know, but people are losing their minds about the trailer.
People seem to kind of lose it more over... It's a weird thing with Luke Skywalker and Han and Princess Leia, because... Like, Luke is kind of the hero of the Star Wars movies, but Han is always a lot cooler somehow. Maybe it was kind of like, you know, maybe it's because Luke has so much kind of angst, you know, but it's a lot more fun. Luke had the lightsaber, and obviously playing with the lightsaber is really, really cool. And he's got an awesome name in Luke Skywalker. But Han Solo just has that kind of like, all the men want to be him and the ladies want to be with him, you know, type feel to him.
True. And it's more Luke's journey, isn't it? It was Luke's journey of him, you know, from the little planet and then leaving his uncle and his aunt and then being murdered and then him going off becoming a Jedi.
Yeah.
was kind of the journey. But Han Solo. Obviously, it helps that you've got a Richard Gere. It's not Richard Gere, jeez. It's helpful that you've got such a handsome actor and suave actor playing him.
Yes. But, I mean, do you think they'll leave in the clip of him having the door drop on his foot?
Chewie, my foot, son of a bitch! And I hope he's really grumpy, just like in real life, as well. So they, you know, he's gone from this suave, slightly womanizing, you know that kind of guy, to really bitter old man, and he's really pissed off about everything.
Just and everyone he meets in the bar, and he always shoots first.
Always. Hi, I'm. What are you doing? What?
They should totally reference that. They should totally have like someone being like, you know, hey, Han, you shot that guy. You know, you should do, you know, blah, 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 and have a Han do a kind of like a sly wink to the camera. You know, Han always shoots first.
Or even
like a sexual reference.
They could have the assassin's son in the same bar. I'm here for revenge. You shot my father, and he just shoots him before he even finishes the sentence.
They could do that, like be Indiana Jones style, you know, just like, you know, somewhat. Maybe he could like do loads of like you know, tricks with the lightsaber, and then he just shoots him, you know, like scene in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Indiana Jones with the guy with the sword. Yeah, so yeah, I was going to ask you. Well, but before I move on to the second trailer that has come out since last week, I think, hopefully. Anyway, since we have more right to complain if that twist did take form and Luke Skywalker was Kylo Ren, which I do doubt. If I'm saying that wrong, sorry to any Star Wars fans who are listening and losing their absolute crap right now. But now two of the films have come out in our lifetime. And obviously we've seen all three films. But two of the films have come out in our lifetime. I think Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980.
Are you just bypassing all of the three prequels? Are you just pretending they didn't happen or exist in any way, shape, or form?
Sorry, what were you talking about? Prequels?
It's it'll be too upsetting.
Anyway, yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
I have no idea. So, but... Like what, before the 4, 5, 6? I thought
yeah, they came out in the 1930s, but not many people.
Good. Yeah. No, I've never seen that. So and the other one came out in 1983. So with all that history, and we were there buying the figures when they first came out as kids, and we were, you know, watching it. Would you be really annoyed if they turn Luke baddie after his journey to a strong good guy?
No, absolutely not. I think it'd be fine.
Neither would I. It'd be a cool twist. It'd be like, oh my God, this kind of thing. And I'd probably be told in the cinema to shut up. But if it did happen, I'd just stand up and go, what?
I think it would be more interesting if they did, to be honest. My reaction wouldn't be a shock horror at all. It would be it works, it fits. It would fit far more to turn Luke than to turn Han or to turn Leia or any of that kind of style. And it wouldn't destroy any childhood memories, because Luke's, like you said, always had that angst and that journey kind of feel to him, you know, and he was tempted to join the dark side at one point, you know, the emperor was all like, you know, if you will not be there, and all, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And he's got family connections and that does weird things to people, blah, blah, blah. Plus, I think it would depend why he turned and what his motivation was and what he was trying to get to. I mean, as long as it was one of those ones, you know how some bad guys are bad guys, but in their own heads, they're still the good guys because they're trying desperately to do something, but in doing so, they're doing something evil to kind of do so. You know, as long as
he... Like Thea.
Yeah, that kind of thing, or, you know, maybe even like Mr. Freeze, you know, like, you know, but in his own head, he's not doing anything wrong, but he fundamentally disagrees with his other good buddies about what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I know, I think if it did happen, people would freak out. I'm just...
Maybe he's just done a Yoda and found a nice planet and he's just sitting in it in a little cave and... you know, in the second Star Wars movie, you know, some like brand new Jedi will go and visit him and he'll be there like in a little rag, like lifting up planes with his hand.
Well, I was hoping that it'd start up a new Jedi school and I'd, you know, get it all kicking again, get the business going, lots of Jedi's flying around.
The computer games and the, is it like the cartoons always have Luke running a Jedi school, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think again, comics and books have had him as the Dumbledore of the Jedi school, if you would.
I'm pretty sure I've been a student of Luke Skywalker in multiple games. Because Luke also, the other thing that would suggest that he is, like, not a bad guy is that in all of the promo things, he's got this quite big beard, isn't he? Which is very Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi style.
True, yes. The pictures, the press pictures and stuff. But he could have that under the mask. You don't know. I don't know. Why would you grow a beard out?
Beards aren't really evil anymore, are they? Like, the beard is more like a friendly old man, Dumbledore, Obi-Wan Kenobi style. If he grew a beard, I reckon, this is the most ridiculous reason to come down on one side or the other. But I am going to put money on saying if he's got a beard, he's going to be a good guy. And you know, somewhere deep in your mind, that actually makes sense.
That does make sense. Gone are the days of the master. Oh, he's got a beard. He's evil.
That was a goatee. Or a mustache. If it was a goatee beard, I'd be saying yes. He's probably turned evil and French. But with a full beard, he's probably just got himself a nice brown cloak and is hanging out in a desert.
Oh, cool. And secondly, did you see the live action Fallout 4 trailer?
No. But you know me, I'm avoiding everything Fallout. So
there's no spoilers in this at all, but it's a cool little thing. And it really, to me, I will talk about anything Fallout 4 because I'm just counting down the minutes. but yeah, it's, you know, the song The Wanderer. I'm the Wanderer. I go from town to town.
Yeah, that one.
And it's like, it's kind of like in a third person perspective, but of an actual actor with a dog.
Right.
And he's just going around the wasteland, like shooting super mutants and getting into the big Brotherhood of Steel suit and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, it's cool. It's really like, it's coming into one of the main games now. Before it was like, everyone knew Fallout was good. I didn't when I first got it, but everyone else did. And then I did afterwards. But now it's like, it seems like one of the big games where before it really wasn't. Even with New Vegas, it didn't have the same vibe as like a Call of Duty, even though I'm sick of them. But you know what I mean? There's lots of hype around that. But with this one, it's like it's got its own live action trailer. That's right up there with Halo.
Yeah, the like niche that. Stuff. Well, not niche. Niche is too small, but the RPG stuff does seem to now be as big in the game release calendar as the Call of Duties and things. I think because they, my guess is they don't sell as much in the short term, but over the long term, they catch up substantially.
Mm. Well, The Witcher 3 sold a bucket load. And I think Skyrim did very, very well as well. So I think it was probably from the Skyrim-y kind of time. That's when it got on those big must-have games.
Well, Fallout New Vegas. I remember seeing Fallout New Vegas posters everywhere when that one came out. Because I remember when it first came, I remember me and Clara went to something in London, like on the day, you know, the week it was released. And I remember just in tube stations, you know, the big posters you get in tube stations behind where you stand. Yeah. You know, I remember there was a whole bunch of Fallout New Vegas ones. And I was being the irritating little son of a bitch going, look, New Vegas. So that was mainstream enough to get mainstream advertising all over the place. So, but good, good. I mean, let's just hope they don't kind of go, oh, popularity, let's put out a yearly iteration, because we've talked about multiple times how we'd rather have, you know, space them out, just make sure they're good.
And I think Bethesda know that's the case, because there's such a, distance between each
one. It would only take like one senior person to be replaced in order to kind of go, right, so money.
Yeah, true. Oh, we don't want that.
We don't want
that. Surely not. After, I mean, even COD now is going downward trajectory, and FIFA's going downward trajectory. Everything that is year to year. Assassin's Creed, the last one was panned by everyone.
What Fallout surely have, though, is, because you know the Bioshock has that Ken Levine guy, like it has like a named person associated with it,
like an artist,
kind of like an ownership of Ken has ownership over Bioshock, and then there's kind of like a guy who's like, you know, we're not going to have a Bioshock game unless it's perfect, blah, 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 blah. Fallout doesn't really have that, I mean, because New Vegas was a completely different team to Fallout 3, if I'm right, like different development team. So, you know, it needs a, I don't know. I'm not saying only the bad stuff's going to happen. Let's just focus on the fact that Fallout 4 is coming out, and hopefully it'll be brilliant. Let's just hope so. Hope so.
Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Both Fallout 3 and New Vegas just have a ridiculous amount of attention to detail. So same as on some of the Batman games, you know, there's just little references everywhere, little stories everywhere. You know, sometimes even just like the placement of a skeleton with a few objects around it just tells a little story, you know, in Fallout 3 and New Vegas. And you're in a computer generated world, but the world is real, you know, and you can look and, you know, the objects are there for a reason. The houses are not just haphazardly placed. You know, there's little messages you can find, little computer things you can find, loads of quests. But you feel like you're in, you can lose yourself because the world feels real. I mean, Claire always used to joke when I was playing Fallout, she was just like, you're off to the wasteland, and I'll be like, yep. But, you know, in a way you kind of were, because those kind of games, you are actually becoming part of that world while you're in it. Obviously, you know, it's a computer game. I'm not saying you get, you know, physically lost, but you know what I mean? You become immersed in a way that other games don't take you.
Yes, I completely agree. And it always boggles the mind. Like you said, the little references, but it could be out in a corner of somewhere you don't even have to go. And you might never see it, but they've gone to the effort for example, stick a skeleton with an Indiana Jones hat in a fridge, randomly somewhere in the desert, which they did do that. Was that New Vegas or Fallout 3?
It was New Vegas, wasn't it? But loads of little stuff around. Is Witcher 3 that immersive?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so ridiculously big. You do a little side mission, and it's like, oh, yeah, could you get this like package to this guy down the road? And your character's like, he's got a really like gruff voice, very Batman-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose so. You know, there's different ways of saying yes and no. So you can say yes, yeah, sure. Or you can go, yeah, but oh, really kind of thing. Or you can go, no, start off, and that kind of thing. So that will turn into this giant mission. You'll get there and there'll be like a crime scene, and then you have to investigate the crime scene. And then it goes on this big mission and you're hunting a monster, and then you've got to save some people. And that one little conversation can turn into the biggest story and tells you so much history about the land you're in and the stories and stuff like that. And if you said no, that's it. You don't do the mission. It's gone. The man goes off. All that whole aspect of the game would have never have been seen. It's brilliant.
How many quests are in the game? Or is it?
I don't think I can count that high. I'm consistently open up new quests. There's each little village, not even village, it's like you've got your main cities and you've got tiny, tiny villages and farms and things scattered around them. And then they've got notice boards. And on the notice boards, you've got like a Witcher contract, because your character's a Witcher, which is essentially a monster hunter.
Yeah.
You've been mutated as when you were a little boy so that you're better at hunting monsters. So you can see in the dark and you resist to poisons and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So you can set those for money and you can haggle over them. That's cool. But then there's also things like, oh, I haven't seen my son, could you look for him? And, oh no, they've got my daughter, but I can't go there, I'm just a farmer. And all these kind of missions. Just so many. So many.
So many. Oh, good. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
What a pay.
Halloween costumes. It's coming around very soon. And obviously, I was just chatting with Clary. Apparently, Izzy's going to be a cat this year. Clary's going as a witch, and Izzy's going as the witch's cat, which I think is very, very cute. What are your favourite costumes you've ever had? It can be Halloween or you know, anything, but you know, costumes. What have you worn? What have you dressed your kids in? You know, tell us your stories.
Oh, I made myself a zombie costume, which is basically homemade. So I've got like an old blazer and sort it up and the face paint. My kids are notoriously scared of masks, which is weird. Oh. and face paint. They don't like it. So when they're babies, I, you know, might dress them up. I think I dressed Joseph up as a little boy, as a little Spider-Man with a little mask on. That was very cute. But myself, mainly zombies. I do like a good zombie. And it's really easy to act like a zombie. All you have to do is have a few beers, especially me, because I'm such a lightweight. Have a few beers and then...
just reading that Michael Jackson Thriller.
Yeah, and then obviously you have to do the Thriller dance as well at some point on Halloween. It's very important. And dressed as a zombie, you look cool. What about you?
I didn't really do Halloween because obviously Christian parents, it was obviously satanic. So my costumes are mainly from, you know, exciting Christian events such as the float. I remember once got dressed up as a cat, and I think I was too young to really realise just how ridiculously girly that was. But I do remember being in it, being like, I shouldn't be here dressed as a cat. And it was proper, like, dressed as a cat as well. I remember my mum was like, you can wear my tights and here's some cat ears and we'll get a little tail on you. And it's weird because you get boy and girl cats in real life. Obviously, you know, my two cats are both boys. But when you dress up as a cat, that's only a girl thing.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Probably the musical cats. You know, those guys probably would have something to say about it as well.
True, and there's lions and panthers and tigers, you know, boys can do that, but, you know, when it's, like, just domestic cats, you know...
Yeah, meow, just meow, a domestic, purr, small little cat. Yeah, I'd probably have to still agree.
So, unfortunately, I was dressed up as a cat once, which didn't go so quite too well. Although I probably looked fine, but it's a bit embarrassing. I had this Superman costume. When my brother was born, I'd have a lot of nights out and things, you know, going to hospitals or being shipped off to various grandparents while, you know, James was being looked after and things. So as a thank you present to me, which is very, very nice, my mum made me a Superman costume. And it was awesome. I was massively into Superman at the time. We've talked about how Superman isn't necessarily the greatest plotline character, but, you know, I love Superman. And I remember running around the house at home and loving it and going around to friends' houses and dressed as Superman. It was great. But I remember one time I was like, mum was like, we're going shopping. And I was like, can I go in my Superman costume? And mum was like, yes, of course you can. And I remember walking, I don't know how old I was. It must have been 9 or 10-ish, maybe 11, you know, walking. No, maybe it must have been younger than that. Must have been more like nine. I remember walking around the shop and just something clicking in my head and going, I'm an idiot. I'm walking around the shop dressed as Superman. I look like a tool. And so this kind of like bold Superman walking slowly became kind of more and more kind of like, oh crap, take me home. I'm dressed up as Kal-El.
Because my little one, when he was six, he always went out in his costume. But now he's seven. He hasn't even suggested it once. Can I dress up as Spider-Man and go down shops? Yep. You got to put your coat on, though. Yep. That's no problem. As long as I can dress up as Spider-Man in public, I'm cool with whatever you tell me to do, Dad. Okay, cool. But now he just doesn't even do it once. But it does. I am jealous of the Americans, the way they celebrate it. Because I saw some posts on Facebook or the news about some of the costumes, man. I saw this, there's a couple with their dog and he was dressed up as Bowser and the wife was dressed up as the princess and the dog had a little Mario costume on.
Nice.
It was brilliant. So yeah, stuff like that. They really go for it. I don't know. They have proper parties. All the American sitcoms always do a Halloween show, like Modern Family, the Halloween episode. It does look so much fun.
And The Simpsons always has a monthly Halloween, a yearly Halloween episode. Yeah, I mean, Americans do Halloween a bit bigger than we do. But I remember, maybe we just do it less than we used to. Because I remember when I was young, there were always things like toffee apples coming around and things. Maybe fairgrounds. We used to be around at Halloween.
I think the most I celebrated Halloween was in my early 20s when it was always Halloween parties.
Yeah, but that was more of an excuse for the girls to dress up like clappers and all the boys to go on all along and talk to them.
I just remembered another time, actually, I dressed up as Robin and the costume was slightly too small. Yes, I had a... how downward for you. Do you want to be Batman? No, I'll just be Robin. Inferiority complex.
Who dresses up as Robin by choice?
I didn't have a Batman costume. It was the only one I could get hold of that wasn't my zombie costume. So
you only dress up as Robin if you've got a best friend who's already dressed up as Batman who begs you.
I think I spent most of the evening running around drunk going, have you seen Batman, to random people? And I thought it was hilarious. But what I didn't realize is when I got the costume is that it was slightly too small. So at the back, it wouldn't go up. So I was just, you know, just saw my T-shirt, which ruined the illusion of Robin, really.
Yeah.
I had fake muscles and everything. That was cool.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
There's always someone who's, because we do dress up days at school on occasion, which are good fun. And I think last time it was Crazy Wigs. The time before that, I think I was a Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz and things. So it's one of the advantages of being a teacher is you do occasionally have the fun dress-up days. But there's always that one person or two people that don't just come with little homemade costumes or you know, puts them together. It's the ones that have like the professionally made, professionally hired, you know, yes, hello, this is my my Batman outfit with the plates, or my Mr. Incredible outfit with the properly like puffed out muscles, or the professionally made Minion costume. And it's like, well, this isn't really... Is this fair? Is this sporting? This is cheating.
Yes, I'm thinking about hiring out a proper costume to go into work because my work is just an office.
Right.
So you can imagine everyone really seriously and me walking in on Halloween, just going hi in my proper full Gandalf costume with my beard and my big stick.
Yes.
And obviously occasionally that sounds a bit rude, but my big cane. And occasionally, obviously, every time someone walks past my desk, you should not pass. And I wonder how long it is until I marched to HR. We need to talk to you seriously about your behaviour today. Why? With a pipe, smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
Indoors. And if there's anyone shorter than me, hobbits, brilliant.
Yes, I'm hobbits. Come here. Excellent.
Frodo, I need to put my finger in your ring. Quick, come here.
Gandalf never took the ring. He turned it down.
You just ruined my finger in the ring joke. Thank you.
I did ruin your finger in the ring joke, but I thought it was, you know, I was just trying not to ruin, you know, Gandalf for those people that adore him.
What did Gandalf want to put the finger in the ring? No, he resisted it. He's the man.
He is the ring resistor.
The ring resistor. Not many people can resist a ring, but Gandalf.
Not many people can, you know, afford that title.
Which can't be said for him in real life. Anyway.
Oh no.
Yeah!
Ian McKellen's awesome.
He is awesome. I'm not debating he's awesome. It's just it's true.
It was an awesome story about Ian McKellen on what's his name? The TV presenter, Graham Norton. There was an awesome Ian McKellen story on Graham Norton the other night. Did you see it?
No.
They were talking about impressions of people, and someone did, one of them did an impression of Graham Norton, which was all a little bit awkward. And Graham Norton was saying that he bumped into Ian, he knows Ian McKellen, and he bumped into him a few months ago at a supermarket, and you know, he kind of spoke to him and you know, was like, hello, how are you doing, good to see you, blah 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 blah, and then they both kind of carried on with their shopping, and he says that Ian McKellen, even when you're just having a conversation with him, is like this just kind of proper over enthusiastic kind of thespian, and you know, the booming voice is just always there. And he said, Graham Norton said he got to the checkout and it was one of those like automatic ones. And he was busy doing his own thing, and then he just heard suddenly booming from the other side of the checkout thing, someone going, "It's already in the bag."
This is great. Oh, I'm joking. Sorry, because we've all been there.
We've all
got that voice.
Put it in the bag.
It is.
But we can't continue until you do. But I have, and then you take it out and put it back in. Have you done that?
Yep.
Or like says, you just push down slightly on the whole thing, hoping that your weight will be exactly the amount of weight that the tomato requires.
And then it says, it's okay, we're getting you assistance. No, yeah, I don't need assistance. I have a bag and it's in the bag.
Unexpected object found in bagging area. So yeah, my fist.
You just told me to put it in the bag. Put it in the bag. That was something unexpected when you told me to put it in there. And then you put your foot in the machine.
It's already in the bag. It's already in the bag. I need to do that next time I go to those machines. I need to like keep talking to it and just talk Ian McKellen the whole thing.
If I was a billionaire, I definitely would have to get someone with one of those just amazing voices like him and Brian Blessed, or what's the guy out of the IT crowd, the comedian?
What, Richard?
He does some absolute radio guys. He's got a really deep voice anyway, and he sounds really cool. Just hire them to follow me around just and do my talking for me.
Yeah, he's right. Say this.
Right, we're going to go in my office and we're going to say, sorry, I'm late. There was a lot of traffic.
He is sorry he's late. There was a lot of traffic.
So much traffic.
And in the car, when I'm angry at traffic, just see out the window, get out the fecking way. What's wrong with you?
Would people be more likely to move out of the way for a really posh insult or a very common one? That would be an interesting sociological conversation. We had a thing in school that I was doing a bit of a kind of sociology about whether human being, I'm going to go a little more political here, about it was about human nature. And it's just a little sentence on the exam spec, so I was just trying to find an interesting way in it. And I found this cool little article that's about whether human beings are naturally good and then society sometimes makes them evil, or whether all human beings are naturally evil, but then sometimes their upbringings make them good, or whether they are completely blank slates, you know, neither, and then their upbringing can pull them either way. And there was a little video clip that I found of these scientists doing an experiment with babies. And basically what they do is they get a baby and they put the baby with their mum in front of this little puppet play. And so you have three puppets, and the puppet in the middle has a ball, and the puppet's like, yeah, I've got a ball, yeah. And then the puppet gives the ball to the puppet on the right. And the puppet takes it and goes, yay, I've got the ball. And then the puppet gives it back to the first puppet, and then the first puppet goes, yay, now I've got the ball too. You know, so they share and they're both happy. Then the puppet gives the ball to the other puppet on his left. Sorry if I've duplicated my directions. He gives the puppet on his left, and the other puppet goes, yeah, I've got the ball, and then legs it. And then the puppet in the middle is then, you know, does like a kind of a sad, you know, like, oh no, you know, like Muppets hand over head, hand over eyes type thing. And then the little play ends, and they immediately bring out the two puppets to the baby, because obviously the baby can't talk or show anything. And they bring out the two puppets and they show the two puppets to the baby, and the baby gets to kind of pick one, you know. And the experiment was to kind of see, would the baby go for the puppet that shared, or would the baby go for the puppet that stole the ball? And apparently in over 70% of cases, the baby takes the, in quotes, nice puppet. And they're saying it's not conclusive or anything, because obviously it's kind of a little baby experiment, but they were kind of using it as a piece of evidence to show that human beings have a natural inclination when they're very young towards the good or the nice, as opposed to the selfish and things like that. What do you think?
Well, surely that's the way for ages that we've evolved. Surely just a corporation has to be more healthy for you to survive, surely, as a race. So maybe it comes from that. I mean, if we went up to anyone like in a computer game and just started killing each other as soon as we saw someone, like in a shoot 'em up or something, then obviously we would all die out very quickly. But I think when as a race, we all kind of went, let's not be dickheads here and let's not kill each other. Maybe it stems from that.
There's certainly elements of humanity which is, you know, historically is, you know, we're not solo creatures. We are community creatures who live in groups. You know, whether it's hunter gatherers or, you know, looking after the children or whatever. You know, we live in kind of communities. So you can't just be like a solo alpha lion or something like that. But then I was kind of thinking it through, and I kind of thought, well, every society on Earth, thinking back in history, seems to start crap, and then as they get more modern, they seem to kind of almost kind of like invent tolerance and equality and things like that. Because if you think about it, like all this, like most societies have gone through slavery, or through that period where women don't have the vote, or through that period where there's like some sort of dictator that runs everything, or you know what I mean. Every society seems to have gone through all these really, really kind of bad times, and then eventually, you know, like the British society, we've now just about got equal rights for women, equal rights for gay people, equal rights for different races. We, you know, benefit system. I mean, America hasn't even got an NHS yet. And I'm not using the lack of NHS to say that Americans are inherently evil, but I wondered if that was evidence to show that human beings start on the more selfish side and then have to, through sociological development, move towards the more altruistic side.
Do you think it's through education as well? And the more we discover about life in a, you know, and science and stuff like that, do you think that has any aspect to it? because obviously going way, 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 way back in history, and I'm not poking fun at anyone who has a belief system, but, you know, a lot of people take certain bad passages from holy books and take it literally and justify those actions. But as soon as you kind of think, well, hang on a minute, and you kind of question one thing and then question another thing, does that lead to more, what's the word I'm looking for? Not fair, liberal thinking, more, you kind of want everyone, you're trying to think about people's feelings more. Because of that, because you can't just use that as a justification.
Well, belief systems have to come from somewhere, and obviously religion can force morality on a group that wouldn't otherwise have it, which is a good thing. You know, do not steal, do not murder, love one another. You know, you could get a group of people that would prefer to be murdering and stealing who won't, but then it can also stop further development, because most religions unfortunately have things against gays or against women or things like that. So religion seems to kind of enforce this kind of basic morality of don't bludgeon each other, but then it's kind of then eventually stops society kind of going further because it's restrictive as well as being, you know, it does a bit of both, really.
I was also reading, I can't remember where I read it, it was some professor that narrows it down, everyone. Yeah, look for that, some professor. Anyway, he was saying in some article that basically we don't have free thought, and everything is down to a subconscious decision made up by life lessons. Everything's life lessons. There's no natural, apart from self-survival kind of techniques, everything else is, you haven't even got a choice. You've already made a decision before the decision has been presented to you through your life decisions and what's happened to you. So if that's the case, that kind of takes
this
away.
This is a huge topic for another, I think we could save this one for another Spadaddy, but I mean, one of the one of the ones I teach at A-level was, the topic I teach at A-level is called determinism, which is the belief that none of our choices are free. They're all just reactions to previous.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And but then there's opposite theories that go with it. I was reading someone the other day, keeping slightly on the same article, that was saying that if you act good because you think you're going to go to heaven, or you just want to please God, or you want to please your mum or whatever, and if you only don't act bad because you're scared of hell or you're scared of going to jail, then your actions aren't actually good or bad. They just are either a result of self-interest or a result of fear. And the article, or the thinker, I should say, trying to argue that a good action is only good if you do it for the sake of simply being good, or for being virtuous, or trying to fulfill your purpose, rather than doing it as a result of either reward or punishment. And was arguing, I mean, it was kind of an anti-religious article, because it was trying to argue that religious people aren't actually good because they only act in the way they do because of either want of reward or fear of hell, which I thought was unfair, because I know lots of religious people from my upbringing that are genuinely nice people and do things because they genuinely want to. So I think that's an unfair thing to say. Even though I'm not religious anymore, I still think that's unfair. But I thought the point was an interesting one about the source of morality.
Yes, it depends how someone answers. I mean, again, I find all this, people's beliefs and non-beliefs and et cetera, I do find that very fascinating. And it depends. If you say to someone, why don't you hurt some people? Why don't you murder people? Why don't you rape people? Oh, it's because it says so in the Bible. Then it's like, ooh, okay, you can kind of take them out to the and spank them around the head verbally, because that isn't a good enough answer. If you said, oh, because that's bad and I don't want to do that, and I think it's Penn Jillette, you know, Penn and Teller. He's a famous atheist, outspoken atheist. And someone said to him, oh, without the Bible, you know, what's stopping you raping and killing and et cetera, et cetera. And he says, oh, I rape and kill all I want. I've raped as many people as I wanted today, and that's zero. I don't want to do it. It's got nothing to do with what tells me to do it. So if someone says to you point blank, I don't do that because of that, and it's because of a punishment, then you can. But if a religious person says, oh, well, it says it in the Bible, but also I don't really want to hurt people, it's a horrible thing to do, then you can have your cake and you can eat it. It depends how you think. If you are a bad person and the only reason you don't do it is because you don't want God to be annoyed at you, then you're still a bad person. You're just not doing it. And
you're just a scared bad person There's some stuff going on with Sikhism at the moment. There was a protest on the BBC. I don't know if any of you got any of you guys are British might have seen it on the BBC website, but there was there's a not a religious program, but a program that talks about religion that's on Sunday mornings, and they debate various religious issues each week. And this time they were talking about marriage, and they invited some Sikh guy on to talk about marriage issues, and they did. And they did the show, and he was kind of doing one viewpoint, and someone else doing the other. And then right at the end of the show, the presenter was kind of rounding something up, and all of a sudden this Sikh guy jumped in front of the camera and said, "You guys have got to report about what's going on in the Punjab. Sikhs are being killed. No one's reporting it. You've got to report it." And the presenter was like, "Sit down." And then the guy kind of goes, "I'm really, really sorry. I'm really sorry. I respect you." And she's like, "Yeah, well, you can't do that right now." And he's like, "I know. I just really wanted to make that point because people are being killed." And he was so polite about it. Bless him. It was like a kind of really polite protester who was like apologizing, but trying to make his point. I felt really sorry for him. Yeah. So I read a little bit about it, and the story seems to be, an interesting one. Apparently there seems to be over in the Punjab, there seems to be a group of people or a person that's going around desecrating holy Sikh books, which is the Guru Granth Sahib, like basically just destroying them and then leaving the pages out for people to find, which is very much upsetting Sikhs. And some of these Sikhs are then going out protesting, not quite rioting, but protesting aggressively, let's say. And then the government's cracking down hard on them with like weapons and stuff, and apparently some Sikhs have been injured and killed as a result of it. And the guy on the TV was upset because no one was kind of reporting it. But I've got a few things about it. Like, first of all, I mean, I know this is probably sounding really, really intolerant. Intolerant is the wrong word, but this is going to sound insensitive, but if someone wrecks your holy book, that's really insensitive of them. But no one's actually died. You know what I mean? It's not... Like, is that the kind of thing to really, really go nuts about? Because there was a thing the other day in the Middle East about some woman that had been accused of burning a Quran or something like that, and they were, like, demanding the death penalty for him. And it feels like just a really, really big overreaction. But maybe it's not if you're part of that culture and it's, like, the most valuable thing in your thing. So I'm aware, as I'm saying it, I'm kind of showing a lack of empathy with what's kind of important to them, but I'm still kind of like, really? It's a book. Don't put your lives at risk because someone's torn up a book.
This is very close to the parent situation with the artist and what was the name of the comic or the magazine? And it was I think the Pope put his foot in it as well by saying you can kind of understand it, and then he kind of backtracked really quickly in an interview as well. But I've heard the argument what do I love most in the world? Has to be my children. I love them the most. Now, if I saw a picture or someone showed me a cartoon of my son in a horrible position or said something to me like, your son is a piece of crap and he's horrible and he's dead, whatever, I still wouldn't kill them. I still wouldn't do anything that bad. I'd say, I'd be equally abusive back to them. But, I mean, and it's not their son, it's their belief system. So I'm very much on the same page as you, which is easy for me to say, being that I don't. I don't have these beliefs, but you're right. If you do believe that, then if someone else is making fun of that belief, then surely you believe that they will have their comeuppance, and it's not your place to do it anyway.
Yeah, like if they've just disrespected God, then surely God can deal with the problem.
Yeah, he's powerful enough to deal with that when that person dies. If that's what you believe, you don't have to get involved. And there's no need. I mean, there's loads of negative pictures about different religions saying, oh, you insult this, behead this person if they insult the Quran, and do this if they say Christianity. But those, they're just picking certain bad things out of religion. But there's other bits in the book. I mean, and normally I'm the opposite of this argument. Normally I'm like, hey, look at all these bad things in these books. But this time, look at all these good things. It says, stay out of it. Let God sort it out, if that's what you believe. So yeah, there's no excuse for that. But at the same time, it's a really touchy subject on how you actually deal with rioters. That's another completely different subject again.
Obviously, these Sikhs who are legitimately angry about what's happened, and I'm not denying their right to be angry in any way, or at the very least offended, you know, have obviously been cracked down on by their government in a way that is not helpful, and that needs to be dealt with as well. It sounds like one of those situations where it is someone's gone out of their way to offend them. They've reacted or overreacted, and then someone's overreacted and reacted to their like reaction, and now everything's buggered.
I know it's a difficult thing without being dismissive of someone's beliefs.
You can't. If you dismiss their beliefs, then you're missing the point. But at the same time, I find it very hard to empathise with people that get so upset about what happens to a book, especially when you get another copy of it.
Yeah, you can get another copy of it, and if it's about a certain holy, you know, your deity, then let them deal with it. They, you know, if they're powerful enough to correct the universe, then they're powerful enough to talk someone out to write the book.
Being an Rishi, I do know for Sikhs, their book is a guru. Like he's like the thing was, I think it was either the ninth or the tenth guru replaced himself with the book. Like each guru chose the next guru.
Yeah.
So the first guru chose the second chose the third, blah, blah, blah. And then the last guru chose the book. So they do treat the book as if it is kind of human. So I do get why they're so upset about it, and I understand, but they also do know that it's a book because the guru chose the book.
Yeah.
Anyway, Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, Hell in a Cell.
I was just about to say violence doesn't solve any problems, and if we all love each other, then the world would be a better place. But this Sunday, people are going to smash their faces into steel cages.
I think that the Sikhs are missing the trick, not having a Hell in a Cell match at Hell in a Cell.
Didn't a Sikh character go against Undertaker once and it didn't end very well?
No, they didn't end well. Yeah, mainly because Vince McMahon can't tell the difference between all the different religions.
He can't tell the difference between a Sikh person and a Muslim person, because I think he was Muslim, but he looked very much like a Sikh.
Yeah, he was with the turban. It was a muck up of truly offensive proportions to anyone of any religion. Really.
Typical Vince McMahon. Let's be honest.
Have they captured your attention yet? Are you looking forward to this pay per view on Sunday?
No, I don't watch the weekly Raw and SmackDown stuff. I read up on it and watch clips because in the UK you have to have a subscription to Sky Sports and it's all very expensive. Just for people who are outside the UK and don't understand my problems. I read about it and it still didn't. I mean, I still want to see the match, but it's all based on what happened at SummerSlam and not what they're doing. Didn't The Undertaker come out to the ring and say, I'm going to be Brock? And then Brock come out and went, no, I'm going to be Drew. Basically, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. And that was it. And then he had a little interview with Stone Cold and that didn't really...
They didn't sound particularly annoyed with each other is the thing.
Mm.
Or, you know, it doesn't seem to be... I mean, they seem to be kind of saying, well, you beat me and I want revenge, and then you beat me under shady circumstances, so I want revenge. But, you know, where's the pull-apart brawl of vengeance, you know, that was there before, or it feels really lackluster.
It does. I mean, Brock lost at WrestleMania and he destroyed the ring and destroyed Michael Cole and everything else. but the Undertaker completely screwed him over, repeatedly punched him in the penis and then made him pass out. And he seems quite cool about it. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, it's all right. I'm going to come down. No, I'm not. I'm fine. Let's just randomly have a match at Hell in a Cell.
Neither of those guys' characters are known for being like, you know, tolerant and respectful and not overreacting things. I mean, they're both the kind of people that if you look at them the wrong way, will come round your house, burn it down, and
tombstone you through the coffee table. Five you on a cat. the only good thing is, you know, I've said this to you before. I hate when Hell in a Cell comes around that time of year and it's the beginning of a feud or the second match in a feud and they go, we're going to have a Hell in a Cell. And it's like,
but this is Hell in a Cell worthy. And yet they seem to have taken the attitude of this actually, because it is Hell in a Cell worthy, we're not going to bother promoting it.
Yeah. I mean, both the Hell in a Cell matches, I think, despite what I think of Roman Reigns, it feels natural to have Hell in a Cell. I mean, you've got a long history between Reigns and Bray, and you've got a long history between Taker and Brock, even more so than, and both of them feel like this is how it should be. Hell in a Cell should be the full stop to a feud. This is it. They can't get out. Oh, they're going to do this and that. But yeah, they, I don't know why. Why it's, I mean, cause the lead up to SummerSlam was brilliant. They did have the pull apart brawls and they did threaten each other and he did keep coming in the ring and punching him in the knackers and tombstone him. And it was, oh my God. But this time it's like, no, yeah, I know they still haven't. No, they still haven't got my attention.
The Hell in the Cell thing is funny anyway, because like the whole purpose of the Hell in the Cell, as you know, is that no one can interfere and they can't get out of the cell. And, you know, they're locked in together and, you know, until one person wins. But then you look back at the history of the Hell in the Cells and, you know, the first ever Hell in the Cell, Kane managed to interfere by ripping the door off the hinges. And
that's after Shawn Michaels escaped.
Yeah, that's after Shawn Michaels escaped. And then the second one started on top of the cell. And at one point in the middle of the match, they actually raised the cell so they could give medical attention to both men. So, you know, they actually just picked up the cell in the middle to try and help them to deal with it.
Yep.
And then there was the big six-man one when they barely stayed in the cell to begin with.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
Well, I don't mind because obviously, you know, it's pre-planned and it's about the kind of spectacle of it. But the whole idea that because it's in the cell, no one's going to interfere is hilarious.
Because I'm sure if you wrote it all down, all the results and what happened, I bet it's what, 2 or 3 matches at most have actually stayed in the cell without any interference and no one's got out the cell.
I mean, probably more now that they've, now there's a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. And so there's a few kind of throwaway Hell in a Cell matches. But yeah, I agree with you.
I'm trying to think of one. Batista Undertaker, no one interfered in that until after the match. Then Edge claimed in the money in the bank, didn't he, or something?
Undertaker Boss Man had no interference up until the point that they tried to hang the Boss Man.
Yeah. That's all. But again, I think that's like the prequels of Star Wars. I just want to forget that one.
Let's go back to Star Wars just for a minute then.
Okay.
Why are you, bearing in mind that the prequels have, let's call them, let's be generous, let's say mixed reviews.
Oh, dear.
Why are you so excited for this new one? And not Disney. Skeptical or worried or, you know.
Because Disney can't do no wrong. They took Ant-Man that no one knows or cares about, apart from me, obviously, because I'm a comic, all comic fans know Ant-Man. And they made a cool film for it. And all the problems they had with it, they still made a good, enjoyable, entertaining film. And Guardians of the Galaxy, not even I had any interest in Guardians of the Galaxy. The only character I really knew was Gamora and Rocket Raccoon.
And was that Disney? Were Guardians of the Galaxy Disney?
All Marvel films. Marvel is owned by Disney now. So when they take something, they're just on a roll. I mean, you look at Pixar films, you look at all those films. I think the only memorable mess up they had was that Land of Tomorrow thing or whatever it was with George Clooney. That didn't do very well. But
I've just Googled worst Disney movies. I'm seeing if...
Okay.
So what have we got? We've got something from 1946, something from 1947. I'm not going to count that because something from 1944. Chicken Little?
Yeah, that's pretty sucky.
Melody Time,
Plane,
Santiago. There's a lot of 94
Cars stuff. Cars 2 was so bad. No one wanted a Cars 2.
Oh, they've got Robin Hood at number 46. I love Robin Hood.
What?
I love that Disney version of Robin Hood. Robin Hood, Little John, riding through the forest. I didn't know they made a sequel to Fantasia.
Neither did I. But I'm talking more modern day Disney.
Dumbo at number 43. What the frick?
Dumbo is ridiculously racist when you kind of look back at it.
Is it?
The crows are just so racist.
Hang on, Peter Pan at 1942. Maybe this more shows the quality of the stuff that comes later rather than Brother Bear. I love Brother Bear.
Oh, I have to disagree with you. I didn't like Brother Bear. I like Peter Pan.
Ichabod and Mr. Toad. I've never even heard of that. The Aristocrats, number 4. Hang on, what the hell is it, number 4? No, what the hell is it, number 1?
Is this... What order is this? Is this like...
Ranked worst to best.
Okay. So what's number 1? Just skip that.
So their top 10 are, you know, from 1 to 10.
Now who's doing the lists?
1, Beauty and the Beast, shut up. 2, Little Mermaid. 3, Lion King. 4, Aladdin. I'm not dissing this. Hunchback of Notre Dame, number 5. I hated Hunchback.
Yeah, I didn't particularly like that one either.
Princess and the Frog.
I haven't seen that. That's one I haven't seen. I have to get that on for the kids.
I suppose I haven't seen that one, but I haven't really heard of it. Mulan, haven't seen that either.
I didn't like Mulan that much.
Pinocchio. How can they keep Pinocchio? That was scary as hell. Jungle Book. Frozen. Frozen's just outside the top 10. Drama.
Ooh.
Lady and the Tramp. Tarzan at number 3. Tarzan wasn't a classic.
I like Tarzan. Lilo I thought Tarzan. Stitch.
Bolt.
Bolt was good. I don't think that did very well, but I still enjoyed Bolt.
So your argument is it's going to be good because it's Disney?
Yeah, they listen to their fans now. I have complete faith in them. I was skeptical of a few films, mainly Marvel ones. Really? And they knocked it out of the park every time. So I trust Disney and their direction with it. And it's got JJ as well. He knows his stuff. I like the first Star Trek relaunch. So
I've seen it already. Someone's redone the Star Trek post with Star Wars poster replacing every character with a version of Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I saw that one. And I saw the Lego one as well. The Lego one was good. But the Jar Jar Binks. See, the first 3 ones, I mean, I was very excited about that. I used to watch the music video for that, just for the clips of the film. And Oh, it was so disappointing. The first one, well, episode one, that was so bad. All the way through, it was so bad. And then number three, oh. Oh, no. Oh.
The thing about that three is that is the end fight and then the big no as Darth Vader becomes the least scariest person in the galaxy.
It was the argument between Obi-Wan and Anakin when they're both on the lava.
Yeah.
About the high ground.
I have the high ground. Like, what, you're just
oh my God,
high, mate, and we
just
can fly.
You've got Jedi powers. It doesn't matter. He can do a giant big leap over you and, oh, no. And it's just, no, I've got high ground. Don't, look. And again, no, don't. Oh, it was so bad.
It
killed all the kids for nothing. They could have just built it up so much better. Anyway, don't. I just wanted to play, just get rid of this from my memory. And look what you've done.
It's just everyone seems to be really, really excited about the new Star Wars movie, and I'm not knocking it. I'm hoping it's going to be great. I'm hoping I will love it. And I have to say, from the little bits of trailer I've watched, you know, it looks, you know, I'm excited to see it, but I'm just keeping that little bit of skepticism of, well, we've been down this road three times before and we have been burned.
Yeah, but it hasn't, you know, it's a new team, man. Come on, you got to have the faith. You got to have the faith. You got the faith?
I'll wait to see the reviews.
Oh, you're reserving judgment. Well, I've got the face. I can't speak today, man. Anyway, I'm going to be there with my Darth Vader mask and my long cloak and my lightsaber, and I'm going to dress my kid up as Yoda, paint him green, and we're going to go there. I'm going to have a good time, and we're going to enjoy the film. And if it's bad, I'm just going to cry my eyes out, because that's it. It's probably won't see a good Star Wars film if this one tanks. My lifetime.
What species is Yoda? Do they ever do like other people that were Yoda's species?
No, that's a good. I don't think I've ever seen another species
what would
of Yoda.
Be cuter than a baby Yoda?
That would be very cute.
It'd look like a gremlin.
The same amount of hair. Because he's a very bald alien race. Did you know that E.T. was in one of the episodes 1, 2, or 3? I can't remember which one it was.
Really?
Yeah, the actual race. There was two ETs in a clip. Look it up. Google it. It's good. Connects all the universes, man. It's good.
Isn't,
I love one.
Isn't
that.
There a Millennium Falcon in something?
One of the episodes. It can be briefly.
Yeah, one of the
seen.
Episodes. It flies in at the bottom or something like that.
Yeah,
anyway,
briefly.
That brings us to the end of Spud Alley for this week. Thank you, my friends, for watching, and thank you, Spud, for joining me.
My pleasure, as always.
As always, the podcasts are available on Audioboom and iTunes and all other good podcast hosts. So please follow and subscribe and come back for more philosophical, newsworthy. We haven't done news today. Well, we kind of did.
Yeah, we kind of did.
Nothing really happened.
We did a big, deep chat. That was good, man.
Deep, man. Deep. Deepness
more
in
sophisticated.
Disney. Deepness and Disney. What more does a podcast need?
Deepness and that's the title. That's the title.
That's right the title. There. Deepness and Disney. Okay.
Deepness and Disney.
All right, everyone. We will see you next week. Thank you for coming along and for your aural pleasure. Here is the Spud Addy Calypso. Bye bye.
Spud Addy, you Spud and I'm Addy. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. Our podcast is random talk on this and on that. But what did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?